Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we want to thank you listeners for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the upcoming holidays of Palm Sunday, Passover, and Good Friday. Listen as we explain the importance of religion for the betterment of humanity. Just because the institutions that have taken over religions are failing, doesn't negate the necessity of union with the divine. Swami will explain how relinking with spirit becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. Spirituality isn't magic, it is physics. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the benefits of apotheosis. So Swami, there are some events that are coming up, as we mentioned in the summary, that lead up to Easter. So we have Palm Sunday, we have Holy Thursday, Good Friday, of course, there's Passover that's in there as well. What is it that we need to know about these services and how do they relate to our spirituality?
Well, I personally think that it's important to understand the intention of religion. The term religion means to relink, and the intention of religion was to relink the individual with a different source of sustenance, a different dimension of reality that initiated a progressive cycle, enabled us to start to grow psychologically and spiritually, that enabled us to become something different than what we were when we were born into this environment. Like we said in the opening, that we're really not doing that today, that our present socialization and the, I want to say, empty form of our religions today no longer do what they were intended to do. So we're really not growing psychologically and spiritually. We're not becoming our optimal position of performance. And the term was called apotheosis, this process of the individual becoming divine. And the evidence procedure that accompanies that process, because in earlier times they had points of passage, they had rites of passage, they had rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices. Because one of the known facts about this process is that it doesn't happen by itself. That in order for us to grow psychologically and spiritually, there had to be a departure from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. And humans have to be taught how to do this from somebody who can do it. That's the whole thing of initiation. And the more that we start to understand the role of spirit, and that it's not just something that you can choose to believe in, but that spiritual law, spiritual reality, is a dimension of reality that ushers in the concept of wholeness for the human experience. It's how we complete ourselves. And it's not, again, just something that you turn to make your experience in the physical world maybe more comfortable for yourself. But it's actually a mode of operation. It is a becoming spiritual. And that's very different than a human who is thinking that they're spiritual.
Well, so we have Palm Sunday that's coming up, and Palm Sunday is what commemorates Jesus Christ's last triumphant entry into Jerusalem before the crucifixion. So according to the Gospels, as Jesus is entering Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowds greet him by waving and laying palm branches in his path. How is it that you would celebrate Palm Sunday? What would be your suggestions?
Well, I think the main thing is to start understanding what the whole symbolism behind the Christ really means. And for me, I really enjoy the interpretation that you can get with Christian Science, the way that Mary Baker Eddy kind of defined everything, because most of the systems of Christianity that I have looked at are really more what I would call Jesusism. It's more about the person. It's more about the human aspect of Jesus, the material man, instead of the Christ, which is the spiritual understanding. And the mortal man is provisional, but the Christ is eternal, and it didn't go away when Jesus ascended into heaven. That the Christ is here, and what the Christ is it is referred to also as the Messiah. And this dynamic that is readily available to each and every one of us, the Christ, is our ability to have awareness of divine love in human consciousness. Because even though spirit is everywhere and in everything, it's not intelligible to the corporeal senses. It's not intelligible to material mind. And the reason being is that because it is whole and it is complete, that the testimony that comes from spirit doesn't record in our senses because they work on duality. They work with contrast. And so the Christ is how it's kind of like the adapter that takes the higher voltage of spirit and makes it intelligible to the lower voltage of matter.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about Holy Thursday. And Holy Thursday is what commemorates the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples before he was arrested and then crucified. It includes the sacrament of Holy Communion to commemorate the Last Supper. It also may include foot washing. And as a matter of fact, I just read that in the Bible that, you know, Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. And as he was doing so, he was saying to them, you know, love each other how I have loved you. And that was basically his message, was to love one another. And so I think that, of course, goes along with what you were saying about, you know, demonstrating those divine qualities.
Well, I think that whole thing of any kind of religion that is not demonstrable can start to deteriorate pretty quickly. And the application of the instructions that come from religions like love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, these are truths that when we understand them, and they point to these spiritual laws, that they're not abstract, otherworldly, and disconnected, but they become a practical guide for highly effective living. Because the spirit plane, the spirit body, and in yoga it is referred to as the causal spiritual body, is the creator of reality. That the creator is cause, and the manifested part is effect. And the closer we are to the cause, the easier it is for us to gain control of the effect. And that's where understanding these truths, so to understand spiritual law, enables you to trump any material laws that are at work now. And again, things that are not just, these aren't just lofty aspirations, but we're talking about truths that are, that we should be able to demonstrate. In the Bible, that whole thing of the human having dominion over the earth can actually start to come to fruition for you on an experiential level as you start to unlock some of these hidden truths.
I did come across a quote that I thought would be interesting to add to the program today. And this quote is by Pope Benedict XVI. From an April 2011 Palm Sunday service. And the quote is, "Our procession today is meant then to be an image of something deeper, to reflect the fact that together with Jesus, we are setting out on pilgrimage along the high road that leads to the living God. This is the ascent that matters. This is the journey which Jesus invites us to make." And I thought that was an interesting quote, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I think when you start to look at that, and what we're really talking about here is apotheosis, this process where we go from material beliefs, when we come from a identity that is all bound up in physical reality, and we start to expand our sense of awareness beyond the limits of the manifested world. And we start to see that we are eternal spiritual beings, that we are made in the image and likeness of the divine, which means that we are spirit. We're not a body that has a mind and perchance a soul. But we are spirit functioning through this mind and a body. And that's a process that we have the responsibility to initiate. We have the responsibility to unlock that potential. With that, with the benefits that come with this realization, it starts to convert into what I call a practical guide for highly effective living. That you basically, you go from human thoughts and beliefs, which can be very limiting, to spiritual understanding, which is liberating, enlightening.
I think we have time for one more quote before we take our break. And this one is by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. "Into each of our lives, Jesus comes as the bread of life, to be eaten, to be consumed by us. Then he comes as the hungry one, the other, hoping to be fed with the bread of our life, our hearts loving, and our hands serving." So again, I'd like to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I really like that type of imagery because my concept of praying, though most people would say that praying is talking to God, and others who I think have a better conception of it call it thinking of God. But my concept of the word is not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, that the human on a spirit level prays on the divine, just like foxes prey on rabbits, that you begin to use it as a source of sustenance. And that starts to kick in what we call the physics of spirituality. It's like attracts like. And once we get a taste for this divine love, once we get a taste of this experience of ourselves as a whole human being, then we want more and more of it. And that creates this reciprocal kind of relationship between us and the divine. And it makes the concept of love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind very experiential.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I guess we'll continue on and talk about the events that lead up to Easter. So I think we're on Good Friday. So this information I received from Wynn Calendar on the internet, and Good Friday serves to commemorate the day that Jesus was crucified. Following Jesus' arrest, he is found guilty of proclaiming himself to be the King of Jews. Jesus was sentenced to crucifixion. This day is celebrated in a number of different ways, from taking down the cross in the Orthodox faith to recounting the story of Jesus' last days, which is also called the Passion of Christ. For many churches, Good Friday is the final service of Holy Week, following the Holy Thursday and Palm Sunday that we just talked about. And other churches hold an Easter vigil on Saturday night to bring the light of Christ back into the church. And I thought that was an interesting phrase, the light of Christ, and kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, we talked about that whole thing of the Christ as being the kind of the adapter that enables divine love to be intelligible in human consciousness. Because like we said, the language of spirit is whole, and the testimony of our senses is work on duality. So even though we are surrounded by the life force, the love of divine law, we really don't have attention for it. And that's what this whole thing of religion was all about. It was about kind of making this conversion, that we kind of change our mode of operation. And that's what I think this holiday is really all about, whether you're looking at Good Friday or even Passover. Because the process in development begins with what was called the separation. I like in Matthew 18:1-4, is written, "He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And this concept of being rebirthed into this other dimension of reality, that's what I think they're really talking about, that unless you change, the point of comparison, become like little children, has more to do with a child's trusting spirit, as well as willingness to be dependent and receive from others, than any inherent humility the child might possess. And so this whole thing of putting off the old man and becoming new is what we're talking about. And then the thing I always go back to is, well, what does this look like when I'm doing it? What does it look like when I undergo this conversion, when I move from material means, the testimony of my five senses as being my sole source of reality, into this impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood that now opens me up to divine law, opens me up to this concept of truth, which is a whole different language. And like I said, Now we move from dualistic understanding of ourselves to the unified state. That's why in Kriya Yoga they call it samadhi, total consciousness. Now we start to think with God as God. We start to understand the difference between human thought and spiritual ideas. And this whole thing of religious holidays for spiritual understanding, because that's what we're really trying to do. We want to really understand ourselves as we were created. And this awakening in the likeness of the divine. Because remember, the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine, which means that we're spirit. It's not the other way around. What we've actually done is we have given God or the divine or divine law human characteristics. We gave it an anthropomorphic image. And so we have given God human qualities when in fact the opposite is the way you want to go. You want to give the human divine qualities. And that's this whole thing of understanding ourselves spiritually. Because then we start to see that we are spiritual, that our true identity, that we are whole, we are complete.
Well, so I think we should discuss Passover too as one of those events that happened during the Holy Week. So now this again is according to Wynn Calendar. So Passover is a 7-day Jewish festival which celebrates the Israelites fleeing from Egypt about 3,300 years ago. Passover is called such because the Israelites marked their door frames with a sign. It is believed because of this sign, God passed over their houses during the plague of the firstborn. And the Israelites were servants from the days of Jacob until Moses. They lived through famine in most Mesopotamia, including Israel. The Israelites built store cities for grain in Egypt, and after 210 years of servitude in Egypt, the Israelites had become servant-minded and did not believe that they could flee. So I thought that was interesting, where they ended up thinking that that's how they should be, as servants, and it wasn't until much later that they had fled the wilderness of Sinai, where they resided there for the 40 years. So I wanted to give your thoughts about Passover and how would you like us to think of it?
Well, again, I see it as a metaphor for the separation myth. The whole thing of the hero's journey begins with the separation, the journey, and then the return. That the process in apotheosis requires us to separate from what it is that we're using to validate ourselves now. And like I said, we draw from duality, which is fear and limitation. And as long as we draw from fear and limitation, of course, that's what we become. But going back to the intention of religion was to relink. So we want to separate from our attachment to things that are visible and tangible, and then rejoin with this unified state, with this concept of the absolute, or was termed God or good. And when we do that, then matter and mind come together with new information, which in turn initiates a progressive cycle. It impregnates the seed of consciousness. It opens up the aperture. It breaks down the veil between us and seeing ourselves as the likeness of the divine. And so Passover, for me, that's what it symbolizes, just like the crucifixion of the body, which happens on Good Friday, is a big part of that separation myth. Because the Christian myth was the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, and then the reunion with the Father, which corresponds with the separation, the journey, and the return. All of this parallels kind of like the metamorphosis of a butterfly. See, butterflies aren't born butterflies, they're born caterpillars. Caterpillars are insects in the larvae state, they do nothing but indulge. And of course, the characteristics of the human in the larvae state, we're careless, we're emotional, we're indulgent, we're excitable. But the caterpillar doesn't wake up one morning and say, where did these wings come from? The caterpillar goes into a chrysalis. Now, in their original formats, every religion on this planet was a system that basically put the human in the chrysalis. It's the separation myth, where we have to separate from what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and then change. We have to embark on the anxiety, the uncertainty of the unknown. And the characteristics of the human when we're in the chrysalis phase is where we're careful, we're intelligent, we're ambitious, but we're abstinent. We're still struggling with the things we would typically be craving in the larvae state because we're undergoing this conversion. And then out of the chrysalis, the caterpillar emerges as the butterfly. And the butterfly, first of all, has options the caterpillar doesn't. Butterflies, if they want, they can crawl around on the ground, but if they want, they can fly. They can access another medium, another dimension of reality, navigate through it. Now, the same is true with the human in the adult state. The human in the adult state, if they want, they can be in the physical body, they can be in the physical world, but if they want, they can access the invisible world and utilize it as a resource of energy. The characteristics of the human in the adult state, you're carefree, you're wise, you're liberated, you're enthusiastic. And so this process in development, this apotheosis, that to me is the thing that I find is missing in the institutions that have taken over our religions today. Like, we don't get what religion was intended to do. We believe in it, but we don't use it. It's not demonstrable.
Yeah, because it's been my experience during these holy weeks that, you know, we looked at all of these events as it was happening to Jesus Christ, the man. We were never taught, you know, about what you're talking about, you know, all the, you know, the resurrection and how that relates to other things. So this is very, very eye-opening, I think, for a lot of us.
Well, I certainly hope so. And of course, if we pique your interest, you know, we have a full program here at Institute for Personal Development for anybody that's interested in learning how to grow psychologically and spiritually.
So I think this is probably a good place to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, we'd like to invite you out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do for you. But do keep those comments and curiosities coming because we do enjoy hearing from you. So be sure to tune in next week. I believe we'll still be talking about Easter. And also be sure to tune in on Wednesday evenings at 5 o'clock. We also do air a Facebook Live episode. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody success with this religious holiday season in trying to get the light of eternal love in your field of awareness. That whole thing of the Christ. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.